Welcome to day 51 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we are reading from the Amplified Bible, Leviticus chapters 22 and 23, starting at verse 1 of Leviticus 22. And the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron and his sons that they shall stay away from the holy things which the Israelites dedicate to me, that they may not profane my holy name. I am the Lord. Tell them, any one of your offspring throughout your generations who goes to the holy things which the Israelites dedicate to the Lord when he is unclean, that priest shall be cut off from my presence and excluded from the sanctuary. I am the Lord. No man of the offspring of Aaron who is a leper or who has a discharge shall eat of the holy things, the offerings and the showbread, until he is clean. And whoever touches any person or thing made unclean by contact with a corpse, or a man who has a discharge of semen, or whoever touches any dead creeping thing by which he may be made unclean, or a man from whom he may acquire uncleanness, whatever it may be, the priest who has touched any such thing shall be unclean until evening, and shall not eat of the holy things unless he has bathed with water. When the sun is down, he shall be clean, and afterward may eat of the holy things, for they are his food. That which dies of itself or is torn by beasts, he shall not eat, defiling himself with it. I am the Lord. The priests, therefore, shall observe my ordinance, lest they bear sin for it and die thereby if they profane it. I am the Lord who sanctifies them. No outsider, not of the family of Aaron, shall eat of the holy thing which has been offered to God. A sojourner with the priest or a hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing. But if a priest buys a slave with his money, the slave may eat of the holy thing, and he also who is born in the priest's house, they may eat of his food. If a priest's daughter is married to an outsider, not of the priestly tribe, she shall not eat of the offering of the holy things. But if a priest's daughter is a widow or divorced and has no child, and returns to her father's house as in her youth, she shall eat of her father's food, but no stranger shall eat of it. And if a man eats unknowingly of the holy thing which has been offered to God, then he shall add one-fifth of its value to it and repay that amount to the priest for the holy thing. The priest shall not profane the holy things the Israelites offer to the Lord, and so cause them, by neglect of any essential observance, to bear the iniquity when they eat their holy things, for I, the Lord, sanctify them. And the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron and his sons and to all the Israelites, whoever of the house of Israel and of the foreigners in Israel brings his offering, whether to pay a vow or as a free will offering, which is offered to the Lord for a burnt offering, that you may be accepted, you shall offer a male without blemish of the young bulls, the sheep, or the goats. But you shall not offer anything which has a blemish, for it will not be acceptable for you. And whoever offers a sacrifice, a peace offering to the Lord, to make a special vow to the Lord, or for a free will offering from the herd or from the flock, must bring what is perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish in it. Animals blind or made infirm and weak or maimed or having sores or a wen or an itch or scabs you shall not offer to the Lord or make an offering of them by fire upon the altar of the Lord. For a free will offering you may offer either a bull or a lamb which has some part too long or too short, but for the payment of a vow it shall not be accepted. You shall not offer to the Lord any animal which has its testicles bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither sacrifice it in your land. Neither shall you offer as the bread of your God any such animals obtained from a foreigner who may wish to pay respect to the true God, because their defects render them unfit. There is a blemish in them. They will not be accepted for you." And the Lord said to Moses, "When a bull or a sheep or a goat is born, it shall remain for 7 days with its mother, and from the eighth day on it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire to the Lord. And whether the mother is a cow or a ewe, you shall not kill her and her young, both in one day. And when you sacrifice an offering of thanksgiving to the Lord, sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten on the same day. You shall leave none of it until the next day. I am the Lord. So shall you heartily accept my commandments and conform your life and conduct to them. I am the Lord. Neither shall you profane my holy name, applying it to an idol or treating it with irreverence or contempt or as a byword, but I will be hallowed among the Israelites. I am the Lord who consecrates and makes you holy, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Chapter 23. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, the set feasts or appointed seasons of the Lord, which you proclaim as holy convocations, even my set feasts are these. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation or assembly by summons. You shall do no work on that day. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the set feasts or appointed seasons of the Lord. Holy convocations you shall proclaim at their stated times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy calling together. You shall do no servile or laborious work on that day. But you shall make an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile or laborious work on that day." And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, when you have come into the land I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, that you may be accepted. On the next day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it before the Lord. You shall offer on the day when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb a year old without blemish for a burnt offering to the Lord. Its cereal offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet, pleasing, and satisfying fragrance, and the drink offering of it to be poured out shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor green ears until this same day when you have brought the offering of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your houses. And you shall count from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths, 7 full weeks shall they be. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a cereal offering of new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 loaves of bread to be waved, made from 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven for first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs, a year old and without blemish, and 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord with their cereal offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire of a sweet and satisfying fragrance to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 he-goat for a sin offering and 2 he-lambs, a year old, for a sacrifice of peace offering. The priest shall wave the 2 lambs together with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. You shall make proclamation the same day, summoning a holy assembly. You shall do no servile work that day. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. Neither shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the 7th month, almost October, you shall observe a day of solemn sabbatical rest, a memorial day announced by blowing of trumpets. a holy called assembly. You shall do no servile work on it, but you shall present an offering made by fire to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, also the 10th day of this 7th month is the day of atonement. It shall be a holy called assembly, and you shall afflict yourselves by fasting in penitence and humility, and present an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on this day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whoever is not afflicted by fasting in penitence and humility on this day shall be cut off from among his people, that he may not be included in the atonement made for them. And whoever does any work on that same day, I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no kind of work on that day. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict yourselves by fasting in penitence and humility. On the 9th day of the month, from evening to evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. And the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the 15th day of this 7th month, and for 7 days, is the Feast of Tabernacles, or Booths, to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work on that day. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation, and you shall present an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no laborious work on that day. These are the set feasts or appointed seasons of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to present an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a cereal offering, sacrifices and drink offerings, each on its own day. This is in addition to the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts and all your vowed offerings and all your free will offerings, which you give to the Lord. Also, on the 15th day of the 7th month, nearly October, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days, the first day and the 8th day each a Sabbath. And on the first day you shall take the fruit of pleasing trees and make booths of them, branches of palm trees and boughs of thick leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year, a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall keep it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths, shelters, for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the Israelites dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Thus Moses declared to the Israelites the set or appointed feasts of the Lord. This is the end of our scripture reading for today. In today's scripture reading, there's one specific verse that really stood out to me, and it's the verse that I want to share with you in our devotional today. It's Leviticus 22, verse 31. And in this verse, God Himself is speaking to the people, and He says this, so shall you heartily accept my commandments and conform your life and your conduct to them. I am the Lord. That's the Amplified version of Leviticus 22:31. In the New Living Translation, it says, you must faithfully keep all my commandments by putting them into practice, for I am the Lord. And then the Message translation makes it very concise when it simply says, do what I tell you, live what I tell you. I am God. Live what I tell you. Now, I really appreciate this verse because it's a challenge to every person. It was a challenge to the Israelites to heartily accept God's ways, His strategies, His principles, His commandments, And it was a command in itself to conform their lives and their conduct to God's ways, God's words. Today, this verse challenges us in the contemporary society and culture that we live in. We have a choice every single day of our lives as to whether we are going to conform our life and our conduct to what the Word of God says, or if we are going to conform our life and our conduct to what the world says, what contemporary society says, what modern culture says is what should be done. So this is the challenge for every single person. And if you are a believer, and if you honor the Lord, if you believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, then it's incumbent upon you to make that decision to heartily accept God's Word and make your life and your conduct conform to the Word rather than to the world. We need to put God's Word into practice. But what a challenge it is when we live in a society that's so filled with pressure on every side to do things the world's way and not God's way. To call what is evil good and what is good evil, because that is what is happening in today's culture. There was a research project that was done at a certain university that was trying to determine just how powerful group pressure is on an individual. And in this particular experiment, they brought in groups of 10 teenagers at a time into a room for a test. Each group of 10 was instructed to raise their hands when the teacher pointed to the longest line on 3 separate charts. What one person in the group didn't know was that 9 of the others in the room had been instructed ahead of time to vote for the second longest line every single time, no matter what was told in that room. So regardless of the instructions they heard, once they were all together in that group, the 9 were strictly instructed not to vote for the longest line, but only to vote for the second longest line. The experiment began with 9 teenagers voting for the wrong line. And the one student who hadn't been given those instructions would glance around, be a little bit confused, and then slip up his hand with the group, even though he knew that that was not the correct or actually true answer. But in order not to be not conforming to the group, time after time, this person would raise their hand, voting for the second longest line instead of the longest line, which was what they were instructed to do. The instructions were repeated, and the next card was raised, and this went on over and over again. And time after time, that self-conscious teenager would sit there saying that a short line was longer than a long line, simply because he lacked the courage to challenge the group that was all agreeing with basically the wrong answer. And this remarkable example of conformity to the group occurred in about 75% of the cases. So when they used different groups, it happened over and over again. They also tested small children, high school students, different age groups, and overall, 75% of the time, the person would agree with the group in agreeing with the wrong answer rather than standing up for what was right, what was the true and correct answer. Now, I mention this illustration to simply say that that example truly does paint a picture of what happens in our culture today. We have people all around us in the media, in our workplaces, in our schools, who will consistently say what is wrong is actually right, what is good is evil, and what is evil is good. And we know this because of the moral choices our society is making today. And yet, there are very, very few people who would stand up and say, no, that is not right, and actually challenge the group, so to speak, or challenge the majority, or challenge those outspoken ones who keep speaking up for what is against the Word of God. And we have this challenge in our own lives today to make a decision whether or not we are going to do, according to Leviticus 22:31, heartily accept God's commandments and conform our lives and our conduct to them, or conform our lives and our conduct to what the culture is saying, what the majority of people around us is saying. Are we going to say that we believe the Word of God and then put the Word of God into practice in our lives? Or are we going to muffle our answer when people challenge us, or refrain from speaking up for the Word of God and the standards of God? This is something that God is calling us to do in our modern day culture. That the Message translation of Leviticus 22:31 said, "Do what I tell you, live what I tell you. I am God." The Lord wants us to live our lives according to His Word, and not to be afraid to speak up for what is God's standards, and not to be fearful of challenging people who loudly proclaim evil to be good and good to be evil. We have to be the people who are willing to heartily, not only mentally assent to God's standards, but to conform our lives and our conduct to those standards. That is the challenge in your workplace. That's the challenge in, if you're a student in a school setting. That's a challenge even in your neighborhood, among your neighbors. Will you conform your life and your conduct to the Word or to the world? Consider that today as you go through your day, and may the Lord give you the grace to conform your life and conduct to His Word. God bless you. Have a victorious week.